So somehow or other, I'm here again, second day in a row. It's my good fortune and it's your misfortune. But Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, text is 17, and the chapter title is Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. Sri Brahma Ovacha Utista Tista Bhadram Te Tapasidho Sikashyapa Varadoham Manu Prapto Priyatam Ipsito Varaha. Sri Brahma Vacha Utista Tista Bhadrante Tapasiddho Sri Kasyapa Varadoham Manu Prapto Priyatam Ipsito Varaha Utista Tista Bhadrante Apasitosi Kasyapa Varadoham Manu Prapto Priyatam Ipsito Varaha. Ladies. Poor Chandra, try it. Vista Tista Bhadram Tehe Kapasita Sikasya Sri Brahma Uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Utista, please get up. Utista, get up. Bhadram, good fortune, te, unto you, tapasiddha, perfect in executing austerities. Asi, you are Kashyapa, O son of Kashyapa, Varada, the giver of benediction, Aham, I, Anuprapta, arrived, Priyatam, let it be submitted, Ipsita, desired, Varaha, benediction. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities, and therefore I may give you a benediction. You may ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Purport. Purport is very short. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Skanda Purana, which says that Hiranyakashipu, having become a devotee of Lord Brahma, who was known as Hiranyagarbha, and having undergone a severe austerity to please him, is known as Hiranyaka. Rakshasas and demons worship various demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, just to take the post of these demigods. This we have already explained in previous verses. Translation again, please repeat. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities. And therefore I may give you a benediction. You may ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padanti Kam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Si rupam sagrijatam sahagana raganatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sarvadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri radha krishna padam sahagara lalita Sri vishakam vitamscha Hey krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Drubhischa Kriva Sindhu Vebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuation of the scenario that's being described here. Hiranyakashipu is determined, very determined, to perform austerities in order to get power. He's angry, actually. He performed these austerities because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Varahadev, killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. And so, after pacifying all the relatives and retaliating against all the Brahmins by sending his assistant demons to the earth planet to ravage anything that was Brahminical, anything that was in the mode of goodness. Now he wants to become powerful enough so he can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's his determined desire, his only desire, actually. So now he has successfully performed, as Prabhupada mentions in the book purports, the previous one and this one, severe austerities. So severe with austerities that Prabhupada uses the word no one, no saintly person could attempt to do such austerities. And he's a demon, Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes we see how a person who is materialistic has tremendous determination to achieve their goals. Sometimes we see, even devotees are amazed to see, that even they're performing austerities, the devotees, but still when they see the materialists, how determined they are to achieve their goals, they become astonished. You see sometimes politicians, especially politicians. Political power seems to be the power that everyone wants in the material world. And they'll do anything to get into. They'll cheat, they'll lie, they'll steal, they'll kill, they'll give up whatever they have to give up in order to become elected. Yeah? They'll go without sleep. They were doing some survey to see how much the politicians who are campaigning sleep within that period of campaign, average of like 4 hours, 3 hours a night, just traveling, shaking hands, kissing babies, all doing all kinds of things to get some kind of perks so they can get elected. And if they're powerful enough and they get enough money, they'll even fix the election so they can win. Yeah. I won't go into the previous administration's attainment to power in the United States of America, but everyone questions who actually won, even to this day. Yes, correct? Yeah. So they'll do anything to get in power. So that kind of determination. But what is the benefit? The benefit is the satisfaction of the false ego and the desire for more and more types of sense gratification. So Hiranyakashipu, he falls into that category, performing such tremendous austerities. And somehow, by his success, he somehow maintained his life for 125 celestial years without moving in the yoga position and maintaining his life airs within his bones. Prabhupada actually says that there are yogis, they can live for hundreds of years buried underground, and they maintain their life simply by the yoga system, by pranayama and by various forms of controlling the airs and meditation. Even though there is no external, air to live, they can live without it just by keeping the airs within their bodies moving. Amazing. But what's the good? What good is it? Who benefits from that? They don't benefit. Nobody benefits. But it seems to be so amazing that everyone says, oh, well done, well done. But what's the benefit? There's no benefit. Nobody gains from that, and nobody, what's the goal? They don't become more Krishna conscious. They don't become more happy. False ego just increases. It's just like the dogs. When one dog barks louder than the other dogs, all the other dogs listen, right? I was just in Udupi. And I was happened to be situated in a room where there's all these dogs right around the room. And boy, did they have a political convention. They were just like, rrr, 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 constantly barking. I was thinking maybe this is some kind of board meeting or something. I won't get specific because it's a Bhagavatam class. But, you know, it was going on constantly. And if one dog, it just can shut down the other dog by barking more continuously and louder than everybody. The other dog just kind of like, ooh, you won. And backs off, you know. But then the big dog comes and goes, and then all the dogs go, oh, they all keep quiet. For a few seconds, anyway. Anyway, this is not a good topic for Bhagavatam, but the point is that, you know, if someone has done something that is of the material, and everyone is thinking, oh, how wonderful. But what's the value? Still, there's no value. And one has to take birth, and one's big false ego just increases. So Rani Kashipu now thinking, you know, now he's immortal. But he's not immortal. Even though when Brahma comes, gives him so many benedictions, Brahma's actually happy in one sense because he sees that what he's done is really tremendous. I mean, no one has performed anywhere else there. And Brahma's position, he's a demigod in this case. He's not acting like a devotee, he's acting like a demigod. And he has to fulfill the required reciprocation for such austerities. They're duty-bound. Prabhupada said the demigods are duty-bound to reciprocate the material attempts of their followers to receive some benedictions if they perform the proper austerities, prayers, worships, whatever. They're like merchants. If you go to buy something and you have the money, you can purchase the item. So their prayers, their austerities, their penances, and they offer to the demigods with a desire to receive something material. And the demigods fulfill that. Brahma, Shiva, we see. Shiva gave power to Ravana. Brahma gave power to both Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. They're demons, powerful demons. Right? But that's their service. It's not a very nice service, but it's... And Brahma got chastised for it later on by Krishna. And guess what? He did it again. Even though he was chastised. He gave it to Hiranyakashipu, then he gave it to Ravana after. Because that's their service. They have to respond to the the prayers of those who worship them for material benedictions. But Hiranyakashipu is in the illusion that Brahma is the supreme. And that's why he's worshipping Brahma in this way. Because he thinks that the Brahma is the supreme spiritual head. And as we go on in the chapter, he offers beautiful prayers to Brahma, thinking that Brahma is the supreme personality of Godhead. So the worship of the demigods, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, their benedictions are temporary. And ultimately they distract from the real goal of life, which is to attain Krishna consciousness. When one gets material fulfillment of their desires, then somehow or other they think that there's some success has been achieved. But actually it's better not to get your material desires fulfilled because that helps you take more shelter of Krishna. Yes? Usually when things go wrong, what do you turn to? To God. When things go right, you might thank God, but then again, you're just trying to enjoy those benedictions that were received. So the demigods, that's their service. So to fulfill material desires, Krishna says, actually, those who seek that type of benediction, they're less intelligent. He calls them alpamedasa, less intelligent. And Krishna goes on to explain in Bhagavad Gita that those desires that are fulfilled from the demigods, the power that they have to fulfill those desires are coming from me. I am the source of that same power that the demigods are giving to you, the benedictions. He is the source. So sometimes we say, if you want to worship for material desires, of course we don't encourage that at all, 100%. But there's those who are so attached to their material desires they can't do anything else. So there is some facility for allowing that type of worship, to worship the Lord for material desires. And then Krishna may fulfill your material desires or he may not. But if he does, then ultimately he gives you an opportunity to engage in devotional service. And as you engage in devotional service, then Krishna gives you the higher taste. Because sometimes people cannot come to Krishna consciousness unless they get something material. Sometimes we present Krishna consciousness that way. You can be happy, you can be, you can have so many nice things in life. Right? Devotees sometimes preach like that. You know, just worship the Lord and you'll be peaceful and have so many nice things. But sometimes you worship Krishna and everything goes wrong, right? all your plans, all your desires, all your aspirations for happiness are all frustrated. It's not a very good formula, huh? Sometimes devotees, you know, sometimes we preach to encourage people. But ultimately we were trying to encourage people to ultimately take to the process of devotional service. Because by coming to the process of devotional service, then what Hiranyakashipu was trying to achieve, immortality, is actually really achieved on the spiritual platform. Because there is immortality, but not for this body. The soul is immortal. And the real success or the real achievement of immortality is to become Krishna conscious or self-realized. Because immortality, as Srila Prabhupada said, is the natural state of the soul. The soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Ajo nityo shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarire. Krishna says in Gita, see, it's eternal, undying, primeval, immortal, immutable. Krishna gives so many definitions of the soul's eternality, its qualities of eternality, in the whole second chapter of Bhagavad Gita to explain that ultimately this body is not the success that comes by anything related to this body is ultimately what we say going to be taken away in time. But anything that's success on the spiritual platform leads to the product, the realization of my immortal nature. And that's what we're looking for. So if something goes wrong on the material platform, then it's a good opportunity to bring about the realization of our spiritual life. Yes. Sometimes we pray, my dear Lord, please take away all of my material attachments, all my material attractions, all my material affections. And then when Krishna starts doing that, then we get a little nervous, yes? It happens. But that's what we want. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I was just thinking of him this morning. He would make that petition to the devotees that here's a beautiful prayer to pray. And this prayer, he says, make this prayer as a sincere offering to the Lord. That my dear Lord, whatever it takes for me to become Krishna conscious, whatever is standing in the way of my Krishna conscious, please take that away. And whatever I need to become Krishna conscious, please bring that about. Please remove the negative and please bring about the positive. The perfect prayer. Because ultimately that's really all we want is Krishna. So austerities and whatever activities in devotional service must come to the platform of developing our attraction and our attachment for Krishna. And without that, it's Srama Eva Hi Kevalam. It's a useless waste of time. So although Hiranyakashipu is performing, you know, so many wonderful austerities, and even Brahma's amazed and he's giving his benedictions, and we're comparing him to great saints. What is he looking for? Material happiness. That's all. But what is material happiness? It's a misnomer. There's no such thing. Sometimes we use, when you put two words together, just like, what is it? What would be a misnomer? Can't think of one. But when you put something together that doesn't make sense, just like, maybe say, a golden mountain. No such thing, right? Oh yeah, that's a good one. What is, you know, what is a Western culture? That's a misnomer. When Gandhi was asked, what do you think about Western culture? He said, I think it's a good idea. They should be cultured. Sooner or later. Krishna consciousness is still trying its best in the Western societies. But the point is that there's no such thing as material happiness. Now, there's one beautiful prayer spoken by one contemporary, Vyapati. He's the contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He writes that material happiness is like a drop of water in a desert. He compares the happiness in material world to a drop. And if you're in a desert and you're thirsty, and you haven't had water for a long time, and someone brings you a drop, you actually may even become upset with that person because they're just creating more anxiety, because one drop can only make you feel like, whoa, what is this going to do? Nothing. But you're looking for the whole reservoir of unlimited, pleasurable, sweet, you know, refreshing water. But in the desert, you actually think it's there because of the desire. It's not really there, but the desire is to have it. So in the material world, people want happiness, so they're looking for it in the material world, but it's not there. But because the desire is so strong, they still look for it and actually see it, and that's the mirage. So when the sun reflects off the sand and creates this image of an oasis, due to its reflection, one thinks, oh, there's material happiness. And then the foolish, as Prabhupada says, the foolish animal runs, but there's no water there. And he simply dies. But Prabhupada went on to say, if you think there is material happiness, then there is this one drop. And this one drop is society, friendship, and love. Society, friendship, and love. He gives these three things. In other words, family life. But then there's maybe some happiness in the family for some time, but then again it all falls apart. And it lasts for a few days. In the material world, you try for something, you don't get it, you're unhappy. You try for something, you get it, it doesn't make you happy, and you're unhappy. And you try for something and you get it, makes you happy for some time, and then it's gone. Let it go. Can't win, can't stop playing the material game. The material game is you can't win and you can't stop playing. Let it go. But in the spiritual life, whatever little devotional service is performed, and it remains within one's eternal bank account. Eternally. So to perform austerities, what is the austerity in this age? Is to take to the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Chaitanya has made this austerity actually very, very pleasurable, to chant and dance. Is that hard? Prabhupada was giving a class to his devotees. He says, Lord Chaitanya has come. He's come with the medicine for this age, chanting and dancing. In previous ages, and he uses the example of, who was it? Vishwamitra Muni, how he was so determined to become a Brahmin and meditate despite all, difficulties. So he immersed himself in cold water in the wintertime up to his neck, and he was meditating. And then in the summertime he sat around with fires all around him in the middle in the hot sun, and he was meditating. Determined. But then Prabhupada said, these austerities you cannot perform. So Lord Chaitanya has made it easy, chanting and dancing. And then he says, and you still can't do it. Of course you're doing it here. But this is the austerity in this age, to chant, to dance, to take Krishna prasadam in association with devotees, to read books, and to be a nice devotee, and to be enthusiastic in devotional service. The basic principles are the austerities that bring about transcendental happiness. Not standing on the tippy toes with the arms raised for 100 years. But then again, out of all this, out of all the chanting and dancing, we have to actually come to the platform of giving up all sense gratification. Because as long as we're still holding on to some type of sense gratification, the sweetness of the holy name cannot penetrate our heart and mind. It remains, it bounces off, it comes in for a few seconds, and then it goes away again. Yes. But when there's no more material desire, then the holy name can resonate within our hearts and minds. No more material desire. And what is the greatest of all material attachments and desires? Sex. Sex life. Prabhupada said, this is the greatest austerity. To give up the attachment for the pleasures of the association of the opposite sex. The greatest of all austerities. Very difficult. Especially in Kali Yuga. Yes. But the higher taste is there. Therefore, one should immerse himself in chanting and dancing and engaging in devotional service. Then, when Maya comes, hey, who's there? It's Maya. Me, Maya. Oh, well, there's no time. Go away. Come back tomorrow. Yes? It's me. I'm back. You said tomorrow. Yeah, I know. I said tomorrow. So it's still today. So come back tomorrow. Yes, it's always today. Tomorrow never comes. So Prabhupada said, this is our process, to forget about Maya. If she comes, just forget. Just continue on in your devotional life. Prabhupada gave his example. He tells a story. Not a story, this was actually an account in the life of Prabhupada. He was given a lecture in, I believe it was Delhi, someplace in India. And many politicians, people from government had come. And the devotees were there. This was in the very beginning of the movement, so the devotees were quite new. And after Prabhupada's very powerful lecture, many of these people really were amazed to see such saintly qualities. So one very highly placed government minister, he just put his full obeisances at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet with great feelings, and everyone saw. And the devotees ask Prabhupada, what is it about you that can inspire people to act like that? Prabhupada said, I have no lust. I have no lust. And then he turned and walked away. And the devotees were thinking, God, we're so lusty. Prabhupada has no lust. So Prabhupada got into his car. A few of the devotees came. They drove back to the hotel. And all the time they were quiet. They were chanting. And Prabhupada could understand the way they were thinking what he had said. So when he finally got to the hotel, he got out of his car, he turned around, he looked at the devotees. He says, it's not because I have no lust, it's because I have no time. I have no time. So what does that mean? It means that if you give Maya time, she's got you. No time for Maya. That means we have to stay nicely engaged in devotional service. When we keep our mind and senses engaged in the service of the Lord, and then as Krishna, as Prabhupada said, Krishna, Maya remains in the back. Maya cannot come in front of Krishna. So he says, put Krishna in front, and then Maya is behind. But as soon as Krishna is not in the front, then Maya is there. Or the opportunity to engage in something that is contrary to devotional service is there. So we have to stay nicely engaged in devotional service. This Puna Yatra is coming up. It's one of the most amazing opportunities to dive deeply into Krishna consciousness. So wonderful. Just 3.5 days, 4 days of simply chanting, nice kirtans, nice associations, nice opportunities to go deep into philosophy and hearing and chanting and just association. Forgetting, put your computers on, you know, keep them off for 4 days, you know. Forget them, turn off the... keep your mobile phones on silent mode, not on... You can keep. In other words, forget about everything else and just dive deeply into this wonderful festival. It's such a great opportunity to taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness in a really a condensed way. Because this is what Prabhupada has given to the world, his greatest gift, the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so, and then when we don't have to worry about all these other things, and we have, when we're engaged in the positive, the negative is no longer there. It's just when we're stopped and when our minds are not, you know, looking for something else, then all of a sudden, then Krishna's gone. Krishna's gone. So, in this age, chant, dance, take nice Krishna prasadam, and associate with devotees in the mood of service. That makes chanting and dancing nice. When we're trying to associate with devotees, with the opportunity to assist and serve the devotees. And that is also the feature of our happiness. In whatever way we can serve, according to whatever way we can offer our time and energy, that's the best. So this Krishna consciousness is the greatest austerity, but it brings the greatest benefit. Taktua dehom purna janmani naiti mameti sorjuna. If you just stay fixed in the process, no matter what happens, no matter what difficulties, no matter what obstacles are thrown in your way, just stay fixed in devotional service. And that requires faith. It requires faith. And someone asked Prabhupada, how do you get faith? What does it take to have faith in devotional service? Prabhupada said, faith comes by purity. Faith comes by purity. So there's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are free from all material, what is that verse? 728 in Bhagavad Gita. Who knows? 728. That those whose sinful activities from this life and all other lives have been eradicated, and now they're engaged in devotion. They can engage in devotional service with dridha vritaha. That means with determination. So even if we still are still pestered by our past sinful or whatever karma is there, just stay fixed in the process of devotional service. And Prabhupada says, blind faith is as good as real faith. Yeah, I was listening to a lecture to Prabhupada the other day. He was saying, it doesn't matter if you have blind faith for the right thing, that's good. Because it's the right thing that's going to give you the benefit. Yes? If someone said, just like Prabhupada used the example of Malati's daughter, Saraswati. She would go during the feast, she was about 5 years old. She would go up to the different devotees, different guests who were eating the feast on Sunday. And she would go up to some of them and say, do you know who Krishna is? And sometimes they would say no. And she would say, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she would run away. Prabhupada said, that's preaching. She has faith. Krishna's God. That's all. She knows Krishna's God. That's faith. She doesn't have a lot of philosophical knowledge. She hasn't studied the scriptures. She may not even be able to hear properly, but still she knows Krishna is God. That's faith. So faith in the process, faith in the spiritual master, faith in that by associating with devotees, that will bring us to the perfectional stage. We may not have so much faith in our own abilities, but still, by that, taking the mercy of the Lord and engaging nicely in devotional service, then gradually we become purified. And then there's no more austerity. Austerity means difficulty. And when one becomes Krishna conscious, there's no difficulty. So, chant, dance, and be happy. Yes? Too simple of a philosophy? Need something more better, I guess. What else is there? Chant, dance, be happy, take prasad, read Bhagavatam, associate with devotees. Anything else? Huh? Worshipping the deity, yes. Huh. Just by coming in front of the deity and appreciating the beautiful, transcendental, attractive qualities of Krishna in his beautiful form as Gopinath. Huh? Gopinath, he's the supreme of all aspects of the Supreme Lord. Yes, we have the Sambandha Abhidayan Prayojana. Sambandha Deity is Madan Mohan. He brings you to Krishna. And then Govindaji, he engages you in Krishna's conscious service. And what's the goal? Gopinath. He is the Prayojana Deity. He brings about our awakening of pure love of God. So he is the highest aspect of the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna, the Lord of the Gopis. Yes. He's right here. Some people say deity, and we use that term, but actually it's more than a deity. It's actually Krishna in that form. He's transcendentally there in his form as Krishna, Gopinath. So, such a wonderful process. Any questions? Comments? Criticisms? Mahamuni Prabhu, say something.
The process of chant and dance, we forgot to say TikTok.
I didn't forget. Feasting. Yeah. Simply a cable and under. After Punayatra, we'll understand more about this philosophy. Actually, if we could do it. Actually, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means a festival every day. You remember that statement? He used to say that. Every day is a festival. Some religions, they worship on one day a week, and another religion worships on another day of the week, and another religion worships on another day of the week. We worship every day, yes? That's just one day a week stuff. Yes. It's all right, but I remember when I was a kid, there was a song that I really liked. It was a rock and roll song. It was by a group called Jethro Tull. You remember them? He's not the kind you wind up on Sunday, was the name of the song. They were talking about God, that some people just wind him up on Sunday. They go to church one day a week, donations, they see everybody smile, they dress nicely that one day, and everybody's nice. And then the rest of the week, nobody cares about anything. Right? He's not the kind you wind up on Sunday. What they were saying is God is more than just a one-day affair. Not only not in a one-day affair, it's every moment. The Vishnu Purana says, what is the greatest misfortune? What is the greatest anomaly? What is the greatest mistake? Want to hear the answer? Are you sure? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for 1 second. That's the greatest misfortune. And if we can remember for 1 second, we consider that good fortune, yes? So to remember Krishna is the highest religious principle. In fact, not only is it the highest, it's the only. Yeah. There's that verse in the, from, what is it? Satvatam, Smartatam, Visayam, Deyam, Visnu. Vishma smarta jajatu chit sarva viveda kinkaraha. Yes, last word. My Sanskrit learning is not nowhere today. Anyway, it says that all the religious principles follow these two principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he quotes in Madhya Lila this verse. And he says that whatever you do, distributing books, worshipping the deities, everything, chanting, everything falls into this category. So we have so many activities, but what's the goal? Is to help us through these activities to remember Krishna. We're taking Krishna prasadam, not just eating food. We're distributing Krishna's books. We're worshipping Krishna in the deity form. It's always Krishna. Everything is Krishna. We're taking care of our body, but it's Krishna's body, not just my body. Excuse me. Everything is related to Krishna. So that's the principle, that everything we do should somehow or other help us to remember Krishna. And if it doesn't, then we should change our understanding of how we're doing it, why we're doing it, to help us remember Krishna. Okay, should we stop here? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.